Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and your pastor was just sharing with me that you guys lost a very, very good man here a short time ago. And homecoming makes me think about burying loved ones. You can't help to when you think about the real homecoming. And you think about one of these days, isn't it going to be wonderful to be with the family of faith as a whole? Amen. As a whole. And I think I shared this with you last time I was here, about 2 years ago. This past August 11th made 2 years. I completely, unexpectedly, had no idea it was coming. I lost my dad. And now I'm standing here before you, and I have no mom, I have no dad. But one of these days, I'll see him again. And this morning, I want us to look at this thought, the journey of faith. We're on a journey of faith. Did you know that? There's not a person here that's ever seen Jesus Christ visibly. Not one. And if anybody tells you they have, they're lying. And there's nobody here that's ever seen him. Nobody here, not one person here has ever heard his voice audibly. Hadn't happened. The day that you do that, you'll not be living by faith, you'll be living by sight. And right now we're on a journey of faith, and I'm preaching to a people of faith. Yes, sir. You believe the Bible's the Word of God? Say amen. Amen. You believe Jesus on the throne? Say amen. Amen. So we believe that how? By faith we believe that. We've not seen Him. We've not heard Him. I've never touched Him. But one of these days my journey will come to an end, and my faith will become sight. I will see Him. I will touch Him. He will touch me. Think about that for a second. Can you imagine the King of Kings reaching His arms around you and giving you a hug? Can you imagine hearing His voice say your name personally? Can you imagine getting to see Him, not the one that Hollywood's painted, not the one in the sandals and the anemic, the weak looking. I'm talking about seeing the one that John described on the Isle of Patmos with His voice being like rumbling waters and roaring waterfalls in His eyes piercing through you, and His hair white like wool, and His feet like being in fine brass. I'm talking about we're going to see the King on His throne. Imagine that one day when our faith becomes sight, and our faith becomes no longer I believe it, now I see it, and I hear Him. Amen. What a day that'll be. Don't you agree? And so one of these days that'll come, but until then, can we have any joy on the way? Can we have any peace on the way? Can we still smile on the way? Because a journey sometimes can get pretty treacherous. And a journey sometimes can get rough. And a journey sometimes can get long. But this morning, with God's help, I want to help you understand that we're all walking and living by faith. By faith. Now, every person here, I'm going to give you a few things about faith. But before we do, let's read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Now you could go on and read the rest of that chapter, and you'll see that he mentions Noah, and he mentions Rahab, and he mentions Samson, and he mentions Jacob, and he mentions Abraham. He mentions several people, and he calls them by name, that they walked by faith. A lot of times we look at those people and we think, man, wouldn't it be something to meet Peter? And wouldn't it be something to meet Abraham? Wouldn't it be something to meet Jacob? You may tell you what they were? They were just people just like you and me. Right. Yeah. The only thing was they believed God. Amen. And if you want a definition for faith this morning, here it is. Are you ready? Amen. I believe God. Amen. I believe Him. And how do you get faith? By through His Word. He speaks. And I just believe Him. I just take Him at His word. And I remember speaking to my dad. I remember he taught me to swim. He taught me all different things. And you remember standing on the side, getting ready to jump in the water. And what does he say to you? I got you. What did it take for you to take the leap? I believe Him. If I didn't think He'd catch me, I ain't jumping. Amen. And finally, it may take you a while, and you may stammer around and debate it for a while, but eventually you jump. That's faith. Stepping out, taking Him at His word. Faith is truly just believing God. Don't complicate it. Amen. Don't complicate it. It's by faith. And we every day we live by faith. Everything we do for God's by faith. Salvation's by faith. Everything's by faith. All of it is. And so this morning I want to give you, we're talking about the journey of faith. I want to give you a couple things about the journey. But before I do, let me give you five things about faith that hopefully will help you. And if you're like me this morning, you know, I'm a I'm my own worst enemy. My mind is my own worst enemy. I battle my mind, and I battle. You know, my dad used to teach me, and it's true, the battleground is here. For each one of us, the battleground's right here. You know, the person that I look at in the mirror is my biggest enemy. I debate. I talk myself out of faith. I reason it. I logic it. I rationale it. We do all these things, and we become our own worst enemy. But eventually, you've got to say, not my will, but thy will. And God, I believe you. But let me give you a few things about faith. The first one is this. We look at this definition, and the definition is truly, it's the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. When we look at that definition, it's this. Substance is subfloor. I don't know what this platform's built out of, but I guarantee you, unless it's on a slab, there's a subfloor down. In other words, I'm standing on the substance. Well, we stand by faith. Do you see that? And how do you see the things of God? Anyone's ever seen God do great things? Does there one person in here this morning that could say, I believe God has done, and you fill the blank in your life? You know how you see that? That's the evidence of your faith. The only way you can see the works of God is look through faith and you'll see the evidence. He mentioned my daughter's getting married. And she's getting married this Friday. I have two children, one son, one daughter. My son now, the love bug has bit him. And he proposed to his girlfriend this past summer. And now they're going to get married next summer. So it just, love is in the air around me. So if you're single, just come hang around me and who knows, it may spill your way. But you know what? This past few months, my son, he's very meticulous and he's very like, he exhausts something when he comes to make a decision. Well, when he come to pick out a diamond for his girlfriend, I went with him to the jewelry store. And I had no idea what I was getting into. I walked in, looks good, how much, can you do any better, take it, gone. Amen? For all you ladies in here, you're like, well, that ain't very romantic. Your husband did the same thing, he just won't admit it. All right? And so, but my son is like super, super meticulous. And I remember when I went in there, I thought, you know, we had things to do. I thought we're going to stop there. He's going to have a conversation, see how much, tell him to order it, and we're going on. Over an hour later, we're sitting there. He's talking about the clarity. He's talking about the size. He's talking about the prongs. He's talking about the setting. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I mean, I'm. Are you a girl in a man's body or what? And so before it's over with, he was looking through this tool and he was saying, look at the clarity. I see something here. And he was talking to the jeweler. I know we're not in a mall store. We're in a very diamond knowledge place. And he's sitting there and he said, well, I see a little speck here, and I see a little imperfection here. What is that? And I'm like, I don't see that. What are you talking about? I mean, you know how they put the bright lights on. It's shining, sparkly. Son, if that don't sweep her off her feet, move on. And I don't get it. And that guy said this, that juror handed me a little tool. And he said, look through this, and you'll see it. And he taught me how to hold it, and I held that up to my eye, and I looked. And every person that does that has the same reaction. They all look at that, and they're like, well, and they say, well, look through this. And they hold that little magnifying glass up. I see it. And boy, when you looked in that diamond and seen them rays of light going down through there and seen the beauty and the glory of it, there's only one way to see it. You got to look through the right tool. The only way you'll see the hand of God in your life, the moving of God in your life, and the things of God in your life is by faith.
That's right, preacher. Amen.
And it's a sad thing, and I don't mean to butcher other Christians, it's a sad thing that there's a charismatic, ungodly movement going on in our country and in our world today that's trying to teach people you can see God through other things. It's only by faith.
That's right. Amen.
By faith. And the reason a lot of us are sitting here and we're defeated and we look at this pastor, we look at this lady, look at this man and say, my God's done this for them, God's done that for them. God's done the same thing for you. You just can't see it because you ain't looking through the right tool. We're walking by faith. Amen? So you need to see, first of all, that definition, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, is very, very real. And it's by faith. And you say, well, I have a hard time with faith. Well, it's the only way you're going to make this journey. That's the only way you're going to have any peace on this journey is by faith. And that's the only way you're going to see the things of God is by faith. So let me give you the second thing this morning when I'm talking about faith. I'm going to give you five of them before we look at our journey, and I'm trying to hurry. The second thing is this. Faith is always very personal. It's personal. You can't live off your daddy's faith. You can't live off your mom's faith. You can't live off your pastor's faith. I believe in corporate prayer, and I believe in when we get together, there's something powerful in that. But let me help you with something. You're not going to live off other people's prayers. It ain't going to happen. Your faith is naked before a holy God. And when you get in your prayer closet, this is the most transparent, exposed time there is. It's me and it's God. And my faith is how I'm living. You can't get saved off somebody else's faith. You can't be sanctified through somebody else's faith. You will not have peace through somebody else's faith. It's personal. And this morning, as I'm looking around, I can see maybe some evidence of people's faith. But let's be honest, in church, we can put on a show and pretend like we have something that we don't have. But when God sees us, those eyes as a flaming fire, He sees the real you, and He sees, do you have faith? Do you believe me? Do you trust me? That's personal. Do you realize that? And it's when I stand before God one day, it ain't going to be anybody else, just me and Him alone. It's the same way even now, as I'm alone before God. My faith is how I live. It's very, very personal. All right, so with the third thing, so we see the definition, we see that it's very personal. Then the third thing we see about faith this morning is this. It's the currency of heaven. It's all that matters to God. Did you know that?
Right.
It's all that matters.
Yeah.
Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
It's impossible to please Him.
Amen,
how many of you want to please Him this morning?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Without faith, it's impossible.
Right.
Do you mean that means you can give all your money? That means you can come over here and work at this church 24/7? That means you can read your Bible until you know it. You can memorize chapter after chapter after chapter. You can sing the house down. But without faith, you are displeasing to a holy God.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible. What verse 2 say? For by it, the elders obtained a what?
A good report.
Amen. One of these days, I'm going to stand before God, not for my sins, but for what I've done for Christ since I've been saved. And when I stand before Him, you know what I long to hear? Well done. Well done, my good and what?
Faithful
servant. My faithful servant. And the Bible says, moreover, in stewards, it's required that a man be found
faithful.
Faithful. In other words, that's the only way to please God. That's what matters to Him more than anything. And that's the reason it always amazes me when you come in church and I scope people out, and I know you're scoping me out, but I'm scoping you out at the same time. You know, you're in a different place. And even if you've been to this church 20 years, I know how the Baptist mentality works. We're checking it all out, checking everybody out. You know, we're sizing people up and everything. It always amazes me, the guy who looks like this, that's the spiritual giant. Amen, brother. I got the tie. I got the mic this morning. I'm more spiritual than he is. Did you know that? Hey, we carry the Bible. We got it going on, right? Or the lady who's got the long, pretty dress, and she's got the do going on. You know, I mean, we think that in the mountain of faith right there.
Come on.
But what you don't know is that guy sitting back there walked in his work boots, carrying his Bible. He may have more faith than me.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
Or that lady sitting back there barely making ends meet. And we think, well, she don't really do anything in church. We never see her up here in front of people. You don't realize she may have mountain-moving faith. She found out what pleases God, and that's how she's living. And God looks at her, and He just smiles. He says, watch her just believe me. Watch her just keep on believing me and keep on trusting me. That's the reason I believe, honestly. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be standing in the very back, and some of those people from Mozambique that I go to are going to be in the very front, because those people don't have a pantry full of groceries. They don't have an education. They don't have a car, and they don't have anything. But yet, when they get in church, they smile, and man, do they rejoice in the Lord. They truly trust Him. If I'm going to get a drink of water, it's got to come from God. If I'm going to get a plate of rice, it's got to come from God. If we're going to make it through malaria, it's got to come from God. Typhoon coming, my little shack going to stand. Only God can do that. And they walking by faith. And God says, look at them, just keep on trusting me. Just keep on trusting me. And by faith, it pleases God. So we see not only that it's the definition, we see that it's personal, but then we see that that is exactly what pleases God. But let me give you the fourth thing about faith this morning. That's what makes you blessed too. That's what makes you blessed. All over the world today, people are searching for things. All over the world. And they're searching for these things. Hope. Peace. Joy. Confidence. And victory. If you believe the Bible is the Word of God, did you know that Romans chapter 15 verse 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with what? Joy and peace in believing. There's hope. There's joy. There's peace. How do you get that? Man, I've read book after book trying to get it. I've had conversation after conversation trying to get it. I've tried every formula in the world trying to get it. And God says, well, to quit complicating, just let me help you. Just believe me. Just believe me. By faith. That's how it is, by faith. Isn't that amazing? We try to complicate things and God says, take my word for it or don't. Take my word for it or don't. In just a minute, we're going to look at this journey and you're going to see that all this stuff becomes very, very profitable. What else does the Bible say? That what's the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. It's victory. So I wonder this morning, how many of us, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, honestly, when you walk through that door, living in victory? How many had the peace that passes all understanding? The joy unspeakable. Confidence with them shoulders back. God's on the throne and He loves me and I'm in good shape this morning. Regardless of my circumstances. You know that's the only way to do that? It's by faith. It's by faith. It ain't, well, when God answers my prayer, everything will be better. You may live the rest of your life and God not answer your prayer. You can't be held in hostage to your situation. You're either going to walk by faith or you're not. But if you don't walk by faith, you're going to be like 90% of church people, 90% of Christians live in complete turmoil. Defeated. If we were the children of Israel, we'd be still on Egypt. We ain't crossed into Canaan land yet. Canaan land is a type of victory. We're still there. We're still wandering around. There's no victory. There's no joy. There's no peace. God's people are suffering. They're under a cloud. They're dying on the inside. And God says, will you believe me or will you not? Amen. So not only does it please God, it's what makes it best for us. Let me give you the last thing about faith. And then I'm pretty much, then I'm going to move to the journey and I'll be done. The last thing about faith is this. Don't beat yourself up too bad when you struggle. Because it's not the amount of your faith that's the most important. It's the object of your faith. Did you get that?
Yes, sir.
It's the object of your faith. I don't put my faith in anybody or anything other than Christ Himself. And the day Christ fails me, I quit. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to keep standing on the rock and keep leaning on Him. You know what happened the night I got saved? I just threw it on Him. It's Him. It's the object of my faith. He's the object. And when He's the object of your faith, you have successful faith. Did you know you can have weak faith, little faith, and still have the right faith? Did you know when we go to Africa and stuff, a lot of times we fly through Addis in Ethiopia, and we go in that airport, there's people with great faith all in that airport. There's people of the Islam faith. There's Muslims decked out. They even have their own prayer room in that airport. They have great faith. Great faith. There's Catholic nuns and Catholic priests all around there. There's people of all religions and they have great, great faith. And you may look in that glass door and you'll see their prayer rugs out facing towards Mecca and them on their knees, hands and knees, praying to Muhammad. Great, great faith. But the only problem is they got it in the wrong place. You know what happened the night I got saved? I put it in the right place. You know how you, a while ago they're singing, I know. You know how you know? A lot of people doubt. They doubt. You know why you doubt? Because usually it starts something like this. Well, when I got saved, I'm just not sure I cried enough. I'm not sure I had enough faith. I'm not sure I prayed the right prayer. I'm not sure that I believed enough. I'm not sure that I, you know what's the problem with everything you're saying? I. Boy, it's all on him. All I know is I give it to him and I believe he's got it. I believe he's got it. Amen? This, the object of my faith is what makes it successful. So now as we've said that, we set the journey about faith. Hopefully there's no confusion. Let me tell you two things about the journey. Number one, when you begin your journey. Now we've already looked at the end, and when we get to the end, it's not by faith. So this morning, let's look at the beginning of our journey. You know how my journey began? The same way Abraham's journey began. God one day spoke to me. He spoke to me. You say you never heard His voice audibly, you said. I didn't. Felt Him in my heart. He spoke to me. And when God spoke to me, He asked me this question. How many of you are saved this morning? Say amen. He asked you the same question. You know what He asked me? What will you do with your soul? What are you going to do with your soul? Now your soul is the most important thing you have. What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? He asked me, what are you going to do with your soul? Now we try to protect things that are valuable in this country, do we not? And we lock our doors. We lock our car doors. You ever go to the store and somebody gets out of the car and they, it's locked, dude. Why do we do that? I want to make sure nobody gets my possessions, my valuables. We go overboard trying to protect. If you want to see a man panic, has anybody seen my phone? Has anybody seen my phone? There's probably more marital arguments over that than anything else, right? I don't know where your phone's at. You tell me where your phone's at. It ain't my job to keep up with your phone. La, 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 la. God bless you, Pastor. We love you. You know. And then, what only do we not only have one, we got to make sure we keep it, but then when we open it, you better have a password. Because somebody could get your information. Right? See, they got facial ID, or you got your little code you punch in there. You know what drives me crazy about our society more than anything? I can't remember all my passwords. You know what I'm saying? You got a password and a password and a password and a password. Why do we have those things? To protect our valuables, do we not? To protect our valuables. Let me show you about the beginning of your journey. One day God gave you the most important thing He could give you. What makes you different from a dog? What makes you different from a cat and a horse or anything else? Is God created you with a soul. He gave you a soul. And say one day, the day God created you, He handed you that soul. He said, that's yours. What you do with that will determine where you spend eternity. What you do with your soul, listen, you can do anything you want to with your mind and your body and your career and your education, but your soul will live forever. Every single person here, your soul will go on and on and on and on and on. That's what separates us from animals. God created man in His image. Jesus didn't come as a horse. Jesus came as a man. And He died for mankind. So what I do with my soul will be the beginning of my journey of faith. So what do we do with our soul? A lot of times, some people walk around with it. And they try, listen, something so valuable, I try to guard it and protect it. I try to make sure I dress my soul up. And I teach it how to be a Baptist, and I teach it how to keep the golden rule, and I try to take care of my soul. Amen? I want my soul to look good, and I want God one day to be pleased with my soul. But the only problem is, it's in my care. I'm trying to take care of my soul. And if you're here this morning, you're trying to take care of your soul, let me help you with something. You're a fool. You're playing with the most valuable thing in the world, and you need to put it in a security deposit. You need to put it in a safe place. This morning, if I was to write you a check for $1 million, I guarantee you I know where you'd be in the morning. First thing, I'm going to deposit that in the bank. Why? I want it to be safe. Safe. Am I right? So all of a sudden, something as important as my soul, we walk around with it. And I see people do this all the time. 2 weeks ago, I just witnessed to a lady, 88 years old. 88 years old, I walked in the nursing home. She was one of my former coaches when I played football, his mom. And he said, "Will you go see her? She ain't got much longer, and she's worried. She's worried. She would mean a lot to the whole family if you just talked to her." And I went and I talked to her. And I said to her, I said, "Well, Miss Flora, have you ever trusted Christ?" And I'm trying to talk to her. And she says, "I tell you what," she said, I ask him to forgive me every day for my sins." And she said, "I prayed, I pray me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I've raised my kids," and she kept talking to me. And it's like I was at a block. It's like I was at a block. And so I prayed with her and I left. And I got in the parking lot of that nursing home. And I realized, you know what? She's going to step into eternity. Eternity. And this is all on me. And I may never speak to this woman again. And I've never done this, but I went back in there. I turned and went back in there. And when I walked back in there, I walked up to her and I took my phone out and I said, "I'm going to make sure I write all this down now. So now you're 88 years old. So I'm going to write today's date down. And so I'm going to ask you this question. When was it? When was it that you trusted Christ?" And this is what she said to me. She said, "Back in the early 80s, I would say." And I said, "Tell me about it." She said, "Well, it was when my husband got sick and went on dialysis. I prayed that God would help me." Church, you better listen to me. She's lost. She's lost. Asking God to help you is not dealing with your soul. And then I said to her, I said, "You need to know if you died, you need to have confidence that heaven's your home. And have that peace. You need to make sure." And this is what she said to me in the Bible Belt, Asheville, North Carolina, off her little frail lips. "Nobody's ever talked to me about that. Nobody's ever talked to me like this." Boy, her daughter-in-law spoke up and said, "Mama, you want to make sure?" And before he left, she's asking Christ to save her. You know what she'd been doing for 88 years? "Trying to take care of my soul. Trying to take care of my soul." But you know what she finally did? "See, I can't. I don't trust myself with my soul. I'm not good enough." And she handed it to Christ. And the Bible says if you hand it to him, he'll take it from there. You know what she did? That's the first step of my journey of faith. That's the first step of her journey of faith. If you're saved tonight, that was your first step. Aren't you glad that by faith you said, "You know what? I don't trust myself with this.
That's right.
And I'm not going to play loose with it either." Some people just play loose with it. "I'm not playing loose with it. I don't trust myself. I only got one thing to do with it." That's salvation, by the way. You say, "It seems pretty simple." I just believe God. 1 John chapter 5 says that if you don't believe the record God gives, you call him a liar. The opposite of faith is, "God, you're lying." I believe what he said, don't you? You say, how can a loving God send somebody to hell? How can somebody who he died for call him a liar?
That's good.
You imagine standing God's face and say, "You're lying." Oh, no. No, he's the God of truth. I believe what he says. And that's the beginning of my journey. Let me show you this, and I'm done. Hopefully this morning, several of you remember giving him your soul. And if you're here this morning, you never give him your soul. Don't be foolish with your soul. Don't you walk out that door with your soul in your hands. You better give it to him this morning. Let him have it. Let him have it. You say, what if he won't take it? Oh, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he'll take it. He said, he promised that. He promised it. He said, you call, I'll do it. You trust me, I got it. By faith. By faith. I've seen 5-year-old kids do it. I've seen 80-year-old man do it. I've seen 40-year-old men do it. I've seen former drug addicts do it. I've seen church people do it. Let me tell you something. All needs to come to Christ. All. But let me give you this. So where I began my journey of faith, one day I'm going to get to the end of my journey of faith, but here's where I struggle. It's the in-between. It's the in-between. And I want to try to help you this morning. There's a sinner preaching to you. There's a human being preaching to you. And this journey of faith sometimes gets very, very dark. And this journey of faith sometimes, I can't figure God out. I can't figure Him out. I don't understand Him. And I'm not being blasphemous this morning. I reverence the Holy God with every fiber of my being. But sometimes I wonder, God, where are you at? What are you doing? And why? This makes no sense to me. And if you're here this morning, you ain't been to that place, you're going. And you'll go back and back and back. And there's not one person in that Bible, that it's in Hebrews chapter 11, that didn't go through mountain-moving turmoil. If you're here and you're a teenager and you're going to walk with God, let me help you with something. You're going to struggle. You're a senior citizen. You say, well, I'm out of here. As long as you're still here, you're going to struggle. In the world you shall have tribulation, much tribulation. And you say, well, I don't understand why God don't make everything perfect and everything better, because this is not heaven. It's not heaven. We live in a sin-cursed society, fallen man, fallen world. There's going to be problems in this world. Jesus went through it, and the servant's not greater than his master. And so look what the Bible tells us in about this journey of faith. Let me help you something. This morning, if you're in your beginning, give him your soul. Number two, if you're on the journey and you're in the middle of it, if you don't hear anything I say, it's this. You ready? Stay the course. Amen. Amen. Stay the course. Yeah. Don't lay it down. Don't walk away from it. The Bible tells us, and I know your pastor is a very Bible-believing man and a Bible-believing preacher. He will tell you, I believe it's as obvious as the day is long, when you look in the book of Revelation, where you're living in the church age of apostasy. This is the definition of apostasy. Turning from the faith. We're there. We're there. We're in a day of apostasy. Men and women who once walked with God, once served God, are turning and walking away from the faith. Stay the course. Stay the course. And you won't find one man, one woman in that Bible who didn't come to mountain-moving places where they were tempted to turn. But in order to make it to Hebrews chapter 11, they had to stay the course. Stay the course. Now, I'm not talking about keeping your salvation. I'm talking about continuing to walk with God. It's the only way you can please Him. Remember that? And when you please God the most is when it's so dark and you can't figure it out, and yet you take that step anyway. I've been to places in my life weeping, begging, torment. God won't hear my prayer. I can't hear His voice. I can't feel His presence. I can't feel His touch. In services, people shouting, songs of Zion going up, and I'm sitting there cold as a wedge. I'm saying, God, there's no sin in my life. What's going on? God takes you to that dark place. God takes you to that place where you can't figure it out. Now will you walk by faith? Let me tell you something. If you can't walk by faith when they're singing and people are shouting, of course, when you feel it, you can. Of course, when you feel great, you can. But can you walk by faith when you can't figure it out and you've said, I've done everything, I've prayed, I've begged God, I've read, I'm trying to make sure there's no sin in my life, but still, the trouble is there. The anxiety's there. The depression's there. The battle's there. The fiery darts of Satan's there. I've prayed and prayed and prayed, nothing's happening. What's going on? And it's like the heavens have turned the lights out and gone silent. Now are you going to walk by faith or are you not? Now by faith or are you not? Turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. I want to show you this. Daniel chapter 3. The children of Israel have been taken captive by wicked King Nebuchadnezzar. And when they got taken captive by him, Nebuchadnezzar started something in Daniel chapter 1 where he started indoctrinating them. He said, I'm going to teach them my language and I'm going to teach them my ways and my culture. And now they're going to eat our food. We're going to make them like us. And there was four men, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel refused that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, here they are. And all of a sudden they make a decree. And they say, I tell you what, everybody's going to bow to this big image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. This big golden image he set up, everybody's going to bow. And all of a sudden, everybody started bowing, the music started playing, and everything gets going. And next thing you know, there's three men standing there that refuse to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they don't bow. Now, we all know the story from Sunday school. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, hallelujah. They got thrown in a fiery furnace, didn't even get hot, didn't get burnt. Jesus walked around in there. Great men of faith, right? You're missing something. Them men stood by faith, and they said, if he delivers us, hallelujah. Look what they say in Daniel chapter 3. This is faith. This is true faith. Daniel chapter 3, verse number 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. That's half the story. But look at the next verse in verse 18. But if not, be it known, we will not serve thy gods. You want to make it on this journey? All of us in here this morning need to decide this. I'm going to put an if not clause in my faith. An if not clause. God, if you do it, hallelujah. But if not, I'm serving you anyway. I'm serving you anyway. You know one thing that I think our churches have done for a long time is preached half-truths. We have Wednesday night prayer meetings and Sunday night prayer meetings, and we have testimony services, and there'll be a lady stand up over here and she'll say, I just want to stand up and thank God. My sister had lymphoma. We prayed and prayed and prayed. And this week she went back and she's in remission. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. There's a lady over here, been begging for a baby for 3 years. Prayed. Prayed, prayed. Miscarriage after miscarriage after miscarriage. She's wore the altar out. She's done everything she knows to do. She can't get pregnant. God's not anywhere close. You know what's in her mind right now? Satan's. See, God healed her sister. What's your problem? See, God don't love you. See, God heard hers, didn't hear. You don't have enough faith. You. And boy, half the church leaves rejoicing and half leaves weeping. And in defeat. I can't figure it out, church. I'll be honest with you. I've been to church my whole life. My dad was a Baptist pastor. I grew up sitting on the front row. I remember him standing me on the communion table, rattling off from Genesis to Revelation, the books in order. Did it for $5. Amazing what a boy can do it for money, ain't it? But... And then my mom took my thunder. Because as we was leaving, she said, you do that for money, you do it for the Lord. But I grew up. I've been around church my whole life. My whole life I've been around church. I'm going to confess something to you this morning. I can't figure God out. I can't. I can't understand why some people are healed and some are not. I can't understand why some people do everything right and the world comes unglued and this guy's living loose. And it's like God just keeps on answering prayer. I can't figure it out. But I can figure this out. If not, I'm going to serve Him anyway.
Amen.
If He shines on me, man, I'm going to enjoy it. But if not, I'm going to serve Him anyway. That's the if not clause. Until you get that clause, let me tell you what you are. I'm in today. I'm out tomorrow. I'm shouting today, hallelujah. I'm down tomorrow. And your whole life is. And boy, if you ever get seasick, you realize I'm tired of this. I'm going to stand on the rock. That's the if not clause. It's walking by faith when you can't figure him out. The journey gets tough. Let me show you something else. Turn with me. Hebrews chapter number 11. Going back. Talk about that faith chapter. And a while ago, I did the same thing. That great faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. If you ever read this carefully, look at this. You start in verse 1. Boy, and they're talking about by faith. And they mention Abel. They mention Enoch. They mention Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Jacob, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, Barak, Gideon, Samson. Man, they some mountains. They some people of faith there. Amen? But look what it says. Listen. What shall, in verse 33, or verse 32, and what shall I say, more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David also, Samuel, and of the prophets. Through faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were they made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Hallelujah, amen. But others. Others. You know who these others are? That's the if not clause. Listen to what it says. Others, they were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Verse 36, others had a trial of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. But yet they walk by faith. Did you catch that? You say, well, preacher, I'm absolutely now totally confused. By faith, great things can happen. But God don't promise that. God don't promise that. God does promise this. You stay the course and trust me. That is what pleases me. And that is where you'll find your joy. You'll find your peace, and you'll find your hope. Amen. That's where you'll find your confidence. And when your journey is done, when you've stayed the course, your faith will become sight. The King of Kings will look at you, reach His hand out and touch you, and you'll hear this. Good job. You made it. You stayed the course. You did exactly what I called you to do. I know this morning I'm preaching to some women, to some men. Your burden is about right there. And you say, I can't take any more. If God don't answer my prayer, if God don't do something, I'm going under, I'm going under, I'm going under. Let me help you with something. You trust Him. You believe Him. You say, I don't know what to believe. If you'll keep coming back this week, we're going to stay on this by faith. And by the help of God, I think He's going to help some people this week. I think He'll help you. But the first thing we need to do this morning is this. We need to answer two questions. Have I ever begun this journey? Have I ever just said, God, I believe You, and give Him my soul? And then the second thing is this. When's the last time you got on the altar and you said, God, I'm wounded, I'm beat, I'm destitute, I'm tormented, I'm a weary, weary traveler, but I'm not quitting. I'm taking the next step. Amen. And I'm going to stay the course. Amen, brother. But God, You need to know, I'm about to die, but I'm going to stay the course. I'm staying the course. I promise you, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. How can you please God? by faith. The same way I got saved is the same way I'll walk. Let's bow our heads.